What's up, ODs and eyewear lovers? We're talking the latest trends in tech and eye care, so sit back, relax, and defocus.
Hey guys, it's Dr. Jennifer Lyerly, and did you know that nearly 90% of non-melanoma skin cancers are linked to exposure to UV radiation from the sun? When you prescribe Kazal no-glare lenses, know that you're prescribing comprehensive UV protection. The Skin Cancer Foundation has awarded Kazal no-glare lenses its seal of recommendation for their safe and effective protection against UV light. The seal of recommendation is overseen by renowned experts in photobiology and granted to products that meet the foundation's stringent criteria for safe and effective sun protection. If you want to learn more about the available technology we can prescribe for patient protection, make sure you check out Not All UV Protection is the Same, Why Good Enough Isn't Enough, led by Dr. Millicent Knight at The Bridge at Vision Expo East on Saturday, March 28th from 3:15 to 4:15.
Greetings, colleagues, and welcome to the Defocus Media Podcast. It's your favorite optometrist, Dr. Daryl Glover, and along with me today is an amazing guest. You wouldn't believe who I have with me here today. Dr. Knight, how are you doing today?
I am doing fantastic.
Awesome. For those who may not know who you actually are and your amazing background in eye care, share with the listeners all the wonderful things that you've done in this eye care industry and you're just where you're from in general.
Oh, well, that's kind of interesting. But you know, I'm really excited to be here with you, Dr. Glover, and just really excited to represent Essilor here as the Senior Vice President of Customer Development. And we, you know, have a lot of responsibilities, but they're all geared around helping the eye care professional really grow their businesses and grow this overall industry.
Absolutely. Absolutely. And for those that are wondering, like, customer development, how'd you even get into that position? I mean, tell them about your background. I mean, you've practiced, you've been all across the industry. So let's just give them a little more, you know, meat to this as well.
Well, I have had some great opportunities to really be able to show up in this profession in a variety of ways, beginning with working first in an optometry ophthalmology co-management hospital-based practice, where I actually wrote the rules for optometrists because they didn't really know what to do with optometrists at that time.
Oh, wow.
And those rules are still like the foundation for what they use today.
Very nice.
But I always had my heart on being in private practice. So I did purchase a practice from a retiring optometrist and went on to re-employ him and own the practice for 20 years in Evanston, Illinois. While I was in practice, I've always believed that as optometrists, we have a responsibility to our patients, which goes beyond the actual patient care that we provide for them, the clinical care, but also to ensure that we are actually bringing them the best practices, best products, the best innovation to really be able to address their needs. And for me, the best way to do that was to get actively engaged with industry and helping them develop those products. So while practicing, I started working and consulting with various companies within our industry. And I think I just kind of got really invested in doing that and eventually transitioned out of direct clinical care. But I've also seen myself as a patient care advocate. And so in transitioning from active clinical care and taking care of my patients that way, I try and really continue to advocate for the best for them in a different spectrum.
Yeah, see, I love that. I mean, you've pretty much seen every side of optometry, of eye care in general. And, you know, with that background, one thing I know you always talk about is how important relationships are. And today, what I really would like to talk about is just relationships and partnerships within eye care. I know Essilor does a fantastic job with partnering with various groups to help enhance our profession. So today, I just wanted to touch on a few of those organizations and a few of those groups that you work with. Let's take it from the top, starting with GMAC.
Okay. Well, that's a newer one, and that's really a unique one. I just said that I believe that as practitioners, we have a responsibility to be engaged with industry to make sure that the best products are coming to our patients. But I also think that industry has a responsibility to work together.
Absolutely.
In making sure that we safeguard the profession, we safeguard the community for patients, and that we also grow the overall category. So this is a unique opportunity where there are, GMAC, by the way, stands for Global Myopia Awareness Coalition. And this is, of course, really important to growing consumer awareness around the importance of early detection with myopia. And what's really unique about this group is that it's about right now 13 major companies in this industry that have pulled together both financial resources and assets to be able to use that information to grow awareness amongst consumers around the importance of getting their eyes examined and really being proactive in addressing myopia.
Well, yeah, I mean, myopia, we know it's an epidemic. I mean, you guys have been doing an amazing job. I always see you, Dr. Ryan Parker, just really out in the field and putting in that work. You know, I mean, we could talk about it all day, but, you know, I take my hat off to you and Essilor just really getting out there, spreading awareness and putting money up. I mean, you know, a lot of people talk a big game, but a lot of times they don't want to put the money up or actually get out there in the battlefield and go to war. And you guys are really doing that.
Well, you know, our mission is improving lives by improving sight.
Absolutely.
So, you know, you've got to put assets behind that. And it's something that we all personally feel passionate about. I personally am a myope. I was that child.
Right.
You know, so I personally am concerned about that, certainly concerned about that for my former patients and for all patients out there. And it's the right thing to do.
Yeah.
And it's really interesting in that I sit at the table. I'm a inaugural member of GMAC.
Okay.
And I sit at the table across from people who would ordinarily be competitors.
Mm.
But for this, we have all pooled our resources together to try and do the right thing and build awareness amongst consumers to give access to the doctors to be able to have the right conversations with their patients. Because as you're modernizing your approach to myopia, and that's exactly what we have to do in this mm-hmm. case, you need to take the time out to have the right conversations to help patients and parents understand the new information that we know, for instance, that is directly associated with certain diseases.
Mm-hmm.
And so it's even critical to get that detection earlier so you can manage those patients through and help them to avoid having those sight-threatening diseases later in life.
Yeah, I mean, this topic has been, it's actually grown to be very close to me because now I have a young one.
Yes,
I know. And he's two
he's
and a
handsome.
Half. Thank you. He gets it from his daddy. But no, my wife is beautiful, so I got to give her some love as well.
Yes,
you know, it's the best of both worlds. I'll take that.
Yes.
But you know, he's 2.5, and I mean, the one word he knows how to say well outside of "I love you, mommy and daddy," myopia is iPad, and we know what that does to you. But at the same time, being a parent, I'm going to face reality. There's sometimes I need to do my thing. My wife needs to do her thing, and we're like, "Here, son, here's the iPad." But, you know, I'm glad that you guys are really putting the word out there. And I know it's going to make a big change. It's only, you know, time will tell down the road. But I wanted to circle back on something that you mentioned earlier. You mentioned modernizing care. Let's talk about that a little bit more when it comes to optometric practices, because I know that's something that Essilor does a great job. And they also share that in common with the AOA, which is another organization that you have an amazing partnership with as well.
Well, you know, there's so much disruption. You hear that word a lot out there. And the dynamics in the industry continue to change, and they will continue to change.
Absolutely.
And so as eye care providers, we have to continue to look for ways to differentiate ourselves out there. And we know that part of that involves modernizing our practice, modernizing our approach to our practice, because our patients are looking for different things, and we have to meet patients where they are.
Absolutely.
And really be able to give them what they need in a way that they can consume it.
Absolutely.
So we have partnered with organizations like the American Optometric Association because we know AOA has a vested interest in helping doctors continue to thrive in this environment and not only take it as competition and address that competition, but really to be able to use that as an opportunity to get even better. There are things that as providers that independent practitioners can provide, and all practitioners really can provide that, you know, some of the competition out there
mm-hmm.
can't really provide in terms of really being able to give that service. So we want to be able to partner and develop. We even have our own Essilor experts. And I know that you're very familiar with.
Yeah.
And, you know, we partner in a very strong way with them because we know that they provide premium eye care. They use premium products, and the patient gets the best of both worlds, the best eye care and the best products.
Absolutely. So let's talk a little bit more about some of the things that you guys are doing out in the community. There's this wonderful organization known as Essilor Vision Foundation. Tell me about your partnership or, you know, how they're associated with Essilor in general.
Well, Essilor Vision Foundation is really an arm that we use to help with completing parts of our mission, which I mentioned earlier, is improving lives by improving sight and also helping us with a lofty goal that we have of eradicating poor vision in one generation. I mean, that's strong, right?
Absolutely. Absolutely. Very strong.
But, you know, we have to use all the avenues that we have available. So the Essilor Vision Foundation has a myriad of programs that allow doctors to help us in that process. So, for instance, if you as a practitioner want to provide care for a patient who can't afford their eye care and can't afford their glasses, we will provide that for them.
I like it.
In partnership with you, because that's what partners do, right?
Absolutely. We hold each other down.
That's right.
At all times.
This is changing lives through lenses. And I know that by at the end of 2019, we had already contributed 1 million pair of glasses to those who couldn't afford it.
Wow.
So yes, as a business, you know, we have to make money. We have to grow as a business. But part of our growth, we give back. We give back in making sure that no one who needs our services and our care go without it.
Awesome. And last year, you actually had the opportunity of actually traveling abroad to actually take place and, again, be out in the field and make this happen. Can you just, you know, share your experience and maybe a touching moment that just it just really hit home with you and touched your heart in regards to that overall experience?
Yeah, that was a great program called Difference Makers.
Okay.
And we were really able to allow our employees to get involved in our mission. You know, we try and bring our mission to everything that we do, to our everyday work. But if you're not on the Dallas campus, it was an opportunity for those employees who are remote, who are involved in bringing that improving lives by improving sight to their own different charities in their communities. And we had a competition where we actually had people, you know, submit what they were doing, and we made a selection, as well as we had our sales team look at some of their doctors out there who, and some of the great work that they're doing in the community, and they nominated them. And so we selected 4 practitioners, and we took 4 of our employees on this trip. And the trip was to Bangkok, Thailand.
Nice.
And we provided free eye care for, I think it ended up being a thousand patients almost.
Oh, wow. That's a staggering
number.
Yeah.
And it was, and they were all school children.
Yeah.
And they were, children are wonderful.
You know that.
So,
absolutely.
And not only did we provide an opportunity for them to have clear vision, but I think we gave them an opportunity to have vision.
Hmm. That's very strong. Yeah. And I know exactly what you're talking about. You know, when I was looking at the video, the images, and just the face reactions, the smiles, it was like you could tell they were smiling through their heart.
Yeah.
I mean, you could just really feel that vibe and energy just by looking through the video. I mean, I almost felt like I was there. And there's a few times where I almost shed a tear. You know, I mean, it was that touching.
Yeah, me too. But, you know, it's also an opportunity to show up. We like to, as a practitioner, like to take every opportunity I can to humanize Essilor. And it's also an opportunity to show up as not just a brand ambassador for Essilor, but an ambassador for my country.
Absolutely.
And to really show Americans in a very positive manner, a very helpful manner.
Absolutely. Absolutely. Well, switching gears a little bit, you know, as an eye care professional, as an optometrist, you know, there's a lot of concerns right now in our industry. You know, you have disruption. You worry about, you know, strong leadership down the road. And currently you see various organizations changing the game. You see private equity. You know, what is Essilor doing, or who are they partnering with to make things better for the eye care industry 10, 15, 20 years down the road?
Dr. Glover, you just said that word again, partnering. Yes. And, you know, we partner with so many people in the industry, but it's really important. If you're really going to grow an industry and keep it healthy, you can't do it alone.
Absolutely.
We're smart enough to know that. We have to work with others. And so we work with groups like ASCO, which is the Associations of School and Colleges of Optometry, because it really starts at the top, you know, with the presidents and deans and then the faculty. And we really want to help support them in being able to make sure that they have all the assets and everything that they need to really be able to give that great education, so that we have a future pipeline of great optometrists who really understand the value of this profession and how noble this profession is.
Yeah.
So, and that they actually have a great program called Optometry Gives Me Life. And it's really geared toward making sure that we really shore up the actual gap that we're starting to develop and being able to get viable candidates into optometry schools.
Yeah. And one thing I really liked about that campaign is the diversity.
Yes.
You know, when I was applying for optometry school, I didn't see myself. But in that campaign, I see myself. And I think that makes a big difference. So I really, really love that. And I hope to see more of that throughout the industry as well.
Yeah, I'm with you. I didn't see myself either. But, you know, those are the types of programs that we really want to be able to support, because we want to make sure that every community is represented and that all patients feel like they have someone that they can receive care from that mirrors their experience.
Absolutely. I really love that. I love that a lot.
We also have a couple other programs. Like even within Essilor, we have an internship program for optometry students every summer. And so you're eligible for that one summer that you have off in between your first year and second year. And then as soon as you graduate, right, while you're waiting for boards, that's an opportunity for you to really understand industry. It's very complex and it's different than anything you learn in school. So we love having the opportunity to get those young, bright minds to come in and help us really navigate and understand how we can stay ahead of the game. Because, you know, we don't want to follow. We want to shape.
Right. Right.
And, you know, we use those opportunities to help do that.
Yeah. One of my colleagues, now Dr. Kate Hamm, she spoke highly of the program.
Yeah, she was fantastic.
Oh, my goodness. Every time we would have, you know, just a little chat about what she has going on, all she could talk about was the program in general. I mean, she loved it. She learned so much. And like you said, industry is completely different from anything else. So just to have that experience and learn how to bring, you know, that world of industry to practicing, I mean, it's priceless.
Yep. And it really helps us, again, continue to help doctors differentiate themselves so that they can stay as competitive as possible.
Absolutely. Absolutely.
Everybody tries to get into this industry because they think, oh, there's resources, there's dollars to be made, but they don't realize how complex it is.
Right.
And you see some of them come in, you see some of them go out, right?
Absolutely.
Because a lot of them really have no real commitment.
Right.
To providing eye care.
Right.
It has to be more than just making a living and making money. It has to be something that you're really committed to. And, you
absolutely.
Know, we take the oath, you know, the optometric
absolutely,
oath.
Yeah.
And that shows up in a variety of ways for us.
Yeah. It's, for me, it's like optometry is my lifestyle. You know, I whether I'm talking to a colleague, whether I'm talking to a potential patient, whether I'm talking to a family member, you know, at some point in time, that conversation is going to revolve right back around optometry. So I understand exactly what you're talking about. At the sales meeting this morning, you guys really touched on something that really touched my heart as well. Again, having a young one, I'm starting to think about his future, which direction he's going to go. And I love this concept that you guys partner with Kidzania. Could you give me an overview of what Kidzania actually is? Because this is actually my first time actually even hearing about this organization.
Well, you know, what touched me about that too is that just what you said, it's a chance to really reach people where they are, reach children where they are. And we wait a little bit too late to expose our children to career choices like optometry, which is why we're in the situation we're in now.
Right.
So they need to get that exposure as early as possible in a way that resonates for them.
Absolutely.
So that to have a child walk into a community that's all designed around potential careers they can have and experiences that they can have that's geared for where they are. And to be able to come into an Essilor Expert Eye Care Center and to be able to pick up a ophthalmoscope, put on a clinic coat, be a pretend doctor, and really be able to try that on. Because for some of these kids, that's the first time they've had that experience. Think about it. If you don't have a parent at home that's a doctor.
Very true.
You may not have that as something that feels like it's something that can really happen for you. You know, and so I have a young son and, you know, my husband's a physician, but I want him to be an optometrist. but you know, we try.
Power to the OD.
Exactly. We want to expose him to as many things as possible,
right.
too. So this was a wonderful experience to really let children actually try it on. And I know for me, My father reflects on an experience that we shared where he took me to the eye doctor, and I actually needed vision therapy when I was 8. And so every Saturday I went in for vision therapy. I don't know exactly what my issue was, but what I do remember is that I had these doctors that cared so much about making sure that I could see well. And because they were so invested in me, I thought to myself, I'd like to do something like that. So my dad said that he picked me up from vision therapy one day, and I said, Dad, I'm going to be an eye doctor.
Nice.
And he said, that's great. But, you know, he said he had a bubble in his head going, you're 8. You know, so you're probably going to change. But, you know, I obviously made a definitive decision at that time. So we can't underestimate how important it is to expose children to choices at an earlier age.
Yeah. Exposure is key. Planting that seed.
Yes.
Letting the child make the decision, but at least letting them have that exposure. I was blown away when I was in optometry school. How many people went to optometry school but never actually worked for an optometrist, maybe volunteered for 20 hours and that was it. And I'm like, you didn't have any exposure to this profession. How are you going to just jump into this? You know, so when I hear things like that, I'm wondering, like, do you really have the heart and passion for this profession?
Yes.
Or are you just about a check? And for me, it's all about passion and love. And I've always been successful in patient care because I've always put my patients first, and I've always had passion for the industry. And having exposure at an early age will definitely allow one to figure out what they want to do and not just randomly choose something where we potentially can have a bad candidate for optometry. But doing that at an early age, potentially like yourself, you know, we'll have a leader that's touched every aspect of optometry and helped to enhance our profession quite a bit.
Well, what I will say about industry too, I think industry works hard, no matter which company it is, mm-hmm. to really partner with the profession and try and help grow up, if you will.
Yeah.
Really quality, premier eye care professionals, because it certainly benefits all of our businesses.
Right.
And most importantly, it benefits the patient. So supporting organizations like the American Optometric Student Association, you know, we do a lot. We hosted them at our facility recently. And it's just really great to see their wheels turning and them, you know, really addressing the issues that are important to them at this stage in their career and planting the seeds to be prepared for dealing with what comes down the path. So whatever we can do, again, to contribute to that is really, really critical, and it's important, and it's something that we've committed the resources to do.
I love it. I love it. I mean, you guys have partnerships on all levels.
Yes.
From, you know, early age to being a student to being a practicing eye care professional to various organizations bringing awareness to certain topics like myopia. If anyone is interested in, you know, partnering with Essilor or just learning more about what's going on, what's the best way for them to contact you or get to learn more about various partnerships?
Well, you can always contact me at millicent.knight@essilorusa.com or Dr. Ryan Parker, who leads our professional relations, and he has a team of optometrists. We also have opticians on our team. We're responsible for the sales training, the eye care professional training. We really have training that's suitable for para-optometrics, for optometrists, for managers. You know, a lot of times in our practices, you know, people get put into managerial positions because they were a good employee, but they don't necessarily have the skill sets to be able to deliver that. And so we put them through leadership training and really send back somebody that's a really quality manager. So we even have a CEOD program because that developed out of the manager's program being so successful. The doctor said, hey, what about us? So, you know, we put a program together that's not about Essilor products, not about products in general, except these are the metrics that you should be following. This is what you need to track to grow your business. This is what you need to do to show up as a leader in your business, mm-hmm. the CEO of your business. And so that's been a really successful program so far. And it's really those who've been involved in the program have grown exponential in their practices because they're focused on it.
Awesome. Well, thank you, Dr. Knight, for hanging out with me today on the podcast.
It's
we'll definitely leave your information on our companion post. And I can't wait to see what you're going to do over the next 10, 15 years.
Hey, you're amazing. Love this profession. It's exciting and it's just full of really passionate, committed people that I love working with, like you.
Thank you. Okay, it's a wrap. Thank you for taking time out of your busy schedule to hang out with Defocus Media. We hope something resonated with you today. Please subscribe to our podcast. And remember, we keep it 2020 around here. Pun intended. We look forward to seeing you next time.